Well, hello and welcome, everybody, to What's Brewing CISFA. What's Brewing CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Danny Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dean, I won't even ask you what you're filling up in your cup because I know your cup is empty.
It's empty. You told me so. I know.
Apparently, let's see, if we started taping the show at, let's say, 8:18, you got up at what, 8 o'clock maybe?
No, actually, I did very good this morning. I got up at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I got up at 7, you know, because the trash runs early, so.
Oh, do you have to, like, take the bins out and put them somewhere?
Yeah, I got to get ready. Yeah.
Now, are you one of these people that because of where you live, you have to like haul them a long distance?
Oh, no. Thank God. No, we don't have to do that. They come right in the back of the garage.
Oh, okay. And that's where you got them. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because we have in our complex, we have like alleyways.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, no, we don't have to. Now, there are some, depending on where you live in the complex, they do have like a an area where the tenants, they'll line them up.
Okay.
So it's easier for the trash man to get to them.
Yeah. And I guess, no, like, you know, I see some people, especially people like have long driveways or just like a lot of bins. It can be like a long haul for trash.
Yeah.
That's why I was wondering if you had one of those. I mean, I'm lucky. I'm like you. It's relatively close. We just have one big bin here at the building. And then we got all the recycling bins right next to it. So
nice.
Other than the times when they are completely stuffed, which oftentimes at that point, the building manager will send out an email saying that the city is running behind today. Please hold off putting your stuff out until tomorrow or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I see what they're saying. It is full.
Yes.
Beyond belief is the word, I guess. But not
so
the,
speaking,
yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, so speaking of your hood, your neighborhood, I see that the Hollywood Bowl they have released their list of concerts.
Yes,
their concert series.
I heard of it. I have yet to see the list, but it sounds
it's a
like
good lineup.
Things,
yeah, you gotta
it sounds
check
like
it out.
Things are coming back to normal. I know I knew of a couple concerts in October, but those are like far off ones. I know now they're looking at all the other ones. Mm-hmm. Including, you know, like the Hollywood, the LA Philharmonic and stuff like that. So I do have to see what the schedule is. Do you know what like the first date of any of it is?
I want to say July.
Okay. So they're okay.
Starting in July. Yes. Wow. Yeah. Cause I already bought tickets.
Of course.
For a specific performance. And she's going to be playing with the Phil.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm, this artist.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to tell us who.
Oh, no. Okay. So the artist, she's amazing. Her, H-E-R.
Is it with the H dot E dot
yep,
R?
Uh-huh,
okay.
Her.
Okay.
And she'll be playing with the Phil.
Oh, nice.
And so we're really excited about that.
And the opening act is she
no,
and him?
You know what? It didn't, there wasn't any description for an opening. Now, what's so awesome is I actually saw her before we got on lockdown. She opened for Lauryn Hill.
Oh, okay.
Because Lauryn Hill was celebrating the 20th anniversary of the miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it's gonna be awesome just to see her.
Oh no, you missed my joke there.
I think I did.
Yeah, my joke was
sorry.
She and him, which is the name of a group, right?
Yes.
She and him, you know, Zooey Deschanel.
Yep,
super cute.
Are they still together?
And M Ward. Yeah, they still do. I don't know if they've done an album over this pandemic time.
Right,
but
yeah.
They've done at least a couple Christmas, and then they've got like volume one, two, and three.
Yeah, that's the only album I know of is the Christmas one.
Oh, okay. No, they got two now.
Oh, okay.
He got two Christmas albums. So just letting you know. But no, okay. I just figured she and him would go with her, you know?
Oh, I see.
And then, you know, they could add Van Morrison's group, okay. Them.
Okay.
From Look the olden this. Days. See, I'm going
so
deep.
So she, deep. Him, her, and them.
That's right. She and him opening for her and a quick meetup with Van Morrison of them.
Of them.
I think okay. I got that right. I'll double check with my musical savant person, Mikey K, later today. Make sure I've got that right. But I think, yeah, Van Morrison's group initially were called either Them or The Them. I know that sounds a little weird, but.
Okay, The Them.
Back in the day.
Okay.
Yes. But, okay, so we're far off track at this point.
Oh,
but that's
yeah,
okay.
we definitely went down the rabbit hole on that.
But here's the thing. You know what? We're going to give our listeners something we haven't done for a while. We're going to do news.
All right.
How's that?
It sounds good.
All right, let's kick this off. So, not that I'm looking for a new job or anything, believe me, but if you, our audience, are or didn't know, both CISFA and CASFA maintain listings of job openings across the state, and then sometimes some jobs from out of state. I was looking at the job flash from CASFA this week, and there are 10 new openings, including an opening at Monterey Peninsula College, which is one of the community colleges, for a director of student financial services. There was an opening at UC San Diego for a financial aid counselor and an opening at UC Santa Cruz for a loan coordinator. These are just some of the openings. And Dana, I would expect that we'll see more over the next few months because just like in our district where we have a number of people retiring in waves and a lot of them are leaving June 30th, that may be happening at other schools too. So you never know when your next opportunity may lie. But Dana, I'm going to have to tell you this. You're banned from reading these announcements. Okay. I can't have or take the chance of you finding employment outside of my school.
Oh, boy. Oh, goodness.
Out of our school.
All right. Yes,
but
sir.
For everyone else, I'll put links in our show notes to the CASFA job site and the CISFA Employment Opportunity Board.
All right. Moving right along. NASFA, our rivals. Ha, ha, ha. Has posted a number of upcoming webinars this summer for beginning, intermediate, and experienced financial aid folks. On Wednesday, June 9th, join NASFA staff for a Q&A-style webinar that will test your knowledge on topics related to student eligibility. On July 14th, find out more about consortium agreements, written arrangements, and study abroad programs, and how to manage financial aid for these types of situations. If you're looking for more intense studies, there is a 4-week interactive online course focusing on the fundamentals of student financial aid. It starts July 6th. Looking for on-demand webinars? There are 8 pre-recorded webinars for new aid officers. If you're a NASFA member, access is free through June 30th. Check out topics like an overview of financial aid programs, how to find answers to regulatory questions, and professional judgment. There's more, but we'll leave it to you to explore all the available options. Check out our show notes for a link to the training and events page at the NASFA website.
That's right. We're giving them more free advertising. But you know, that first one that you talked about, the Q&A style webinar to test your knowledge. Uh-huh. I'd heard from some people, I think in our district in particular, who had done, remember they're doing like a quiz show that we talked about on the show a number, like sometime in April and May, they did a quiz show and a number of people from across the state did participate in that and had some fun. So it looks like, you know, even though we're far, far apart, everyone, NASFA is still doing some fun things for the members out there. But Dana, did you know that there is an association, actually associations, just for college student employment?
No, I didn't know this.
Well, WASEA, which is the Western Association of Student Employment Administrators, and of course there's a national one, the WASEA, at least, the Western Association, will be hosting a mini virtual conference on June 23rd and the 24th. If you've been asking yourself, how have you done in developing and sustaining your student employment program over the last year, or wondering how to prepare for students to reenter the workplace, this is probably the conference for you. For more information, check out the WASEA website at wasea.org. We'll put a link into the show notes so everyone can find that website.
That sounds like a good one. I might have to hit you up for that one.
That's fine. I think it's reasonably priced. And I know one of the directors of financial aid down in Orange County area is vice president, I believe, in one of the committee chairs. That's how he found out about it.
Okay, nice. So
be good to go.
Yeah. All right. So PBS, as part of their new series, Rethinking College, reported how community colleges are retooling to bring students back after the pandemic. The PBS reporter talked to students who faced multiple challenges during the pandemic, during which many of them had to drop out or cut back on their classes. Many of the issues they faced, we see with students at our own campuses: loss of work, loss of income, food insecurity, a lack of appropriate technology, and a completely new way to learn via the internet. Although no California community colleges, staff, or students were quoted in the article, I think we all can relate to these issues brought up by the people interviewed. You can either listen to the article or read the full transcript at the link we'll put in our show notes for today.
Yeah, I read the full transcript. So it was pretty interesting, you know, the people they talked to.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's all the things that obviously we've seen and heard about, you know, when you have single parents, non-traditional students, people that, again, any little fiscal change in their life as far as finances can throw them off. And the fact of then they have to pick up schooling, they may not have the appropriate equipment,
right,
or they got kids at home who need the equipment, and not everyone's Wi-Fi is super fast.
I mean, stealing all the bandwidth, yeah.
I mean, think about it. What would have happened in the olden days, post start of the internet, but let's say in the days of dial-up?
I mean,
we'd be probably doing like correspondence school. I would assume have somebody at the school putting papers in packets, because really, you definitely had, I mean, you remember when video first started on the internet, you got like a little tiny picture on CNN of the news, and you had to figure out what's in that little 1-inch by 1-inch square, what's going on there, and why is it still impossible to see?
Man.
And audio and web cameras. I mean, I'm trying to think of the first laptops that came out with web cameras. I don't know.
Ooh, that's a good, you know what, that's,
I mean, it had to be post-internet for one. But again, there would be no other need for it, I think. But what a different world it'd be if we were in dial-up days. I think that's
You had me at dial-up, because I can hear the, you know, the sound noise when you're trying to connect.
Yeah. I remember my first internet connection because a previous college I worked for offered free dial-up, because certainly it didn't cost them anything. That's what I used for many, many years. But I was relatively far from the school, so I'm sure that didn't help either. But it was definitely in the days I had Windows machines. And whenever there was like a Windows update, it was one of those things that literally outstarted in the morning.
Yep.
And I just would go about my day.
Yeah. And then come back.
You know, like nighttime after dinner. And then check the computer and see that, you know, 2.9 gigabytes of 3 gigabytes are downloaded and there's still an hour to go.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We have come a long ways, man.
Yeah, I don't think people realize. They just do not realize what great times we live in as far as internet goes. In comparison to what it was merely a few years ago.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I guess there's good and bad. You know, some people end up being addicted to Netflix. Not going to say any names. Dana. Oh, I'm sorry. What's that? Was I saying anything there? Yeah. But, yeah, it's a very interesting take on things. And thinking of interesting takes, let's have a little music for our middle of the show point here.
And welcome for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
That's right. I felt it was a good time to do a little refill there before we go too far down the rabbit hole of the old world internet.
You know, because that's exactly what was going to happen.
You know, there is a good fun website before I start our news article. If you've never gone back to it, it's like, it's, I don't know if they call it the Wayback Machine or something, but it's literally like archive.org or something like that. And what it is it's kind of like a web archive. So if you typed in like Amazon in their search function, they'll give you like Amazon screenshots from like the old days.
Oh,
so
my
you can
word.
Like literally go like, it'll be like 1995 and you can see what Amazon looked like, or 1997 and see what it looked like and see all the different iterations. Because if you've only been using Amazon, especially during the pandemic, you see like the top of the line of how good retail looks online. But back in the old days, not quite as clean.
Not at all.
Right? Chunky, clunky graphics, everybody. And tabs. Remember the tabs at the top of the page? It'd be like tab for books, CDs, DVDs, Blu-rays. And then all Amazon kept doing until literally they had about 20 tabs and they gave up. They just kept adding new tabs when they kept selling new stuff. Oh, man. Remember? Clothing. Yeah, hardware.
Right, right. I
mean, just crazy.
And I do. And I just remember when it was just, like you said, books and movies. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, starting when they started adding other products you can purchase.
They just keep adding to it. So I think it's archive.org, everyone. Go find that website. It's a lot of fun. But before you do that, let's get back into the news here. I'll say that I was reading an article recently on the Politico website about how the new Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, is working to overhaul a number of higher education rules. And some of these do directly relate to us and the work we do in financial aid. Now, there's a number of topics that you may want to read up on just for fun that aren't specific to financial aid, but these are things like changes to Title IX regulations, and of course, the still dreaded return of more gainful employment rules. But here's what's on the table in far as financial aid related items. Some of the secretary's proposals look to bolster targeted loan cancellation programs, including the one for federal student loan borrowers who work in public service jobs, borrowers with severe disabilities, and those whose educations were interrupted due to the closure of their school. So they're looking at how they can bolster up some of those programs. Also, the department is looking to write new regulations, expand access to Pell Grants for incarcerated students, which was part of a law passed by Congress and the previous U.S. president and signed into law last December. This may also include the return of something we haven't heard for a while. Actually, I think it's been 10 years, Dana. The Ability to Benefit program.
Oh, my word. Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
So this is possible for students in particular without a high school diploma or GED, because that, of course, is one of the requirements to qualify for federal aid. So if restored, this may open access to federal financial aid again for many students who are left out currently.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. It also looks like the department will try to group up some of these topics into several packages for review, as the federal government has a negotiated rulemaking system for when agencies want to create regulations. So, you know, Congress passes the laws. The law doesn't have all the details to it. They pass it to the Department of Ed, Department of Education, Energy, whatever it is. They make the regulations out of it. This is sometimes called NEGREG. It's a negotiated rulemaking. And there's a number of seats for people who've served on these negotiated rulemaking committees over the years. Maybe we'll try to get some of them in here on the show to talk about the process, because it is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think that would be, yeah.
Yeah, because as I remember, my old boss from Glendale, she did this quite a few times, because they will try to get someone from different representative segments like community colleges, public large universities, private schools, non-profit, for-profit, etc. Sometimes law schools have their own financial aid thing. And they meet, they talk on topics. And as I understand it, if they come to a consensus as a group, the Department of Ed is supposed to enact it that way. But in the talks, if there's not consensus among everybody, then in a sense, the Department of Ed can do what they want, which may take into account some of the opinions in the room, but it doesn't mean that they have to go that way as far as how regulation plays out. So we'll see how that happens. It's really interesting. And again, you get to see how the feds make the sausage. I had that in my notes here, so to speak, out of the laws that are passed. So we'll put a link to the Politico article so you can read up more about what's going on there.
All right, Dennis, do you know what time it is?
I only know on my clock what time it is. What time is it, Dana?
It is time for me to hit you up for some training.
Of course.
Free training.
Okay.
All right. CASPA posted some new training opportunities, which the CISPA webmaster, David Shook, sent out as a PDF to all CISPA members. If you haven't seen it, we'll put a link in our show notes, but let's consider some of the offerings. First up, Listen Up, a webinar on active listening being presented by FIA on June 10th. I like the webinar's description. We know active listening to others takes practice, self-control, and commitment. So often we think we are listening when in fact we are caught up in our own thoughts or anticipating what we think the other person is about to say. You'll learn and practice strategies to increase your ability to actively listen and allow others to elaborate on their thoughts as the means towards improved communications. Now, Dennis, were you listening to me on this?
Huh? What? Yeah. No, I got you. I got you.
Okay. Here's one more webinar I want to point out for everyone. Atigo by Ascendium is offering a session on June 16th titled Living in the Moment with Mindfulness. Now, mindfulness has gotten both a good rap and a bad rap over the years, but if you want to learn how to implement mindfulness strategies into your daily routine and change how you approach your work and home life, check out the webinar. For these offerings and more, check out the training page at the CASPA website at casfa.org/training.
Dana, I will agree with you. I think they're both great offerings. Mindfulness, I've read a few books on that. It's an interesting take, and I know our boss knows a little bit more about that as a topic. Mm-hmm. But the active listening one in particular, I mean, that's one that you really do have to work on
as
a person. And I think for those who went to the CISPA conference, you may have heard our keynote speaker, Nina G, a comedian, a stutterer, and a college faculty member. When either we talked during the keynote or otherwise, maybe during her session, this is one of the key sticking points in some ways in many stutterers' lives, is that part of where people are not actively listening and doing the part that you talked about, which is anticipating what we think the other person is about to say.
Yeah.
Again, especially with stutterers and people with that kind of vocal disposition, they don't need our help trying to figure out what words are coming out of their mouth or will come out of their mouth. They will come out of their mouth when they're ready to come out. And I think I see this sometimes with not just myself, but with friends and others that, again, if you just let the other person say what they're going to say, then we know what they're going to say. So don't spend a lot of time just trying to anticipate. You know, active listening is, again, truly two people interacting and truly listening and understanding what they're saying. So,
and I think also, Dennis, part of the interaction or part of, you know, actively listening is the patience, you know.
Absolutely.
You just have to be patient. And like you said, allow the person to express what they're thinking and what they're feeling.
Absolutely. And I think we lose that, especially in this modern society where everything from let's call it nonfiction TV or news TV or news type TV to drama shows and comedies play against that, right?
I mean, absolutely.
If you were to watch any panel on any news channel talk about a topic, is there any active listening going on?
Oh my God. That's my mom's number one complaint. Why do they always have to talk over each other?
Exactly. Yes. And it's probably one of the reasons I've tuned out of that and now I've gone straight to just, not that I'm selling it to anyone, Wall Street Journal Online, because I find them to probably be the most newsy of things. And again, you avoid that distraction.
Right.
If anything, I'll watch something on C-SPAN, like C-SPAN 2, Not when they're doing congressional stuff. That, again,
I was going to say, Dennis.
That's like the opposite of it, too. No.
I didn't know you were about that life.
No. I'm like into the weekend book reviews. Okay. Where, again, it's generally
an
author.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yes. It's an author sitting with someone interviewing them. And they have to listen to each other.
Okay.
Because it's the way it is.
Yes.
You know, it simplifies things. And talking about simplification, let's get into our last news item here, Dana, so we can roll out for today. NASFA's FAFSA Simplification Implementation Working Group, which includes over a dozen financial aid professionals from across the states, will start meeting soon. The purpose of the working group is to provide campus-level feedback, perspective, and insight to both NASFA and the Department of Ed throughout the implementation process. As noted in a document from NASFA, the topics they'll weigh in on include, but are not limited to, appropriate outreach to students and families regarding the federal methodology and data sharing changes, early awareness efforts related to maximum and minimum Pell Grant eligibility, and development of the form itself, or the replacement upgrade to the FAFSA, including the use of language and terminology on the form. Seems like a great endeavor. I saw that the sole representative from California comes from San Francisco State University. So let's wish the group well and wish them luck, as this seems like probably a pretty daunting task overall. In fact, we'll probably revisit this whole FAFSA simplification over the next few months here on the show, or maybe a spinoff, Dana, you think?
Oh, okay.
Maybe a little bring in the experts who have read through the hundreds of pages on FAFSA simplification.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Yes, because it's coming up soon. It's not this fall, but the next fall when students are doing FAFSAs in 2022 for the fall of 2023 college enrollment. That's when everything's kicking in. So
my word.
We have some time, but we might want to think about a spinoff. Who knows? It might not be a bad idea. But you know, it is a good idea, Dana. Can you guess?
Our you know, time for a break, it sounds like.
That's right, time for a little music. And of course, after a little bit of music, it's time for our last sip segment. So get that sip on, everyone. Dana, you know what time it is. If we have time, we always have time for this. Do you have an I Dare You To selection for our group today?
You know, I don't have a selection, but I do want to dare our listeners, go to a concert.
That's a good one.
I'm so excited about this concert. I have not been to a concert in, oh my gosh, almost a year and a half.
I'm with you on that.
And before we got on lockdown, I mean, I had plans and tickets for some amazing artists, some amazing shows.
So do you still have credits somewhere at a ticket seller?
Yeah, I do. Dennis, don't talk bad about me.
Not gonna.
I actually still, because me and a friend, we like to go to the show. BTS tickets. I still have BTS tickets. Yeah, for Rose Bowl, I think.
Okay. And are they planned? Do they have a planned return?
I don't even know, man. I just keep checking Ticketmaster to make sure they're still there.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I'm going to say that's probably not a bad idea. Just because you never know. I mean, it's interesting because I know James Taylor Jackson Brown. I put them both together there and got James Brown. That's funny. James Taylor and Jackson Brown were going to do a concert like last October. Mm-hmm. They're now doing it this October down in Anaheim. So
awesome.
So if you want to go to a concert, that's one that you could do. But BTS, that's okay too. I'm not judging.
And then right when we were sent home to work, Thundercat was about to start his tour.
Wow.
And it got canceled.
Wow.
So you know I was hurt.
Because obviously that's one of your favorite artists there. And yes. Because I've listened to you and I've listened to Thundercat, and I can understand if anyone wants to see, and we'll maybe have to create a website for this, Dana's listening habits, you'll see a trend that rolls through far as the Thundercat, the Christian Scott or Christian Scott Atunde, Lotus Flower.
Oh boy,
Flying Lotus. Flying Lotus. I always get that wrong. And some other jazzy type of infusion of things. There's a style. Well, Dana, for my I dare you to, I'm going to dare myself to just reach back here, find a book off my shelf, and then dare people to read it without making my artwork fall. I don't like that book, actually. Here's a better one.
Okay.
This one's in my Hollywood section. It's called Hollywoodland. It's by David Wallace. And basically, it's the whole idea of old Hollywood. I think I've read this a long time ago. But basically, it's just a whole story about high society of the times of Hollywood, you know, all the dream houses, all the celebrities and all. Because there was a time, if people don't remember, celebrities actually did live in Hollywood. I mean, like the Hollywood before they moved out to Beverly Hills and moved out to Bel Air and Malibu. Malibu literally was like the area that teachers would go to. Like teachers would move out to Malibu because it was out of the city and the land was really inexpensive. Can you imagine saying that today?
Man.
So Hollywood Land by David Wallace. It's a very good read, everybody. So I think, though, when I look at all things in perspective, I think, Dana, we've ran out of time.
I think we have, too.
Yeah. So there's always time on our next show for more topics, but for today, we've ran out. So I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CIFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
You can find this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 96, recorded the morning of Friday, June 4th, 2021.
Everyone, have a great day.
And have a great weekend.